On today's show, we have just a little bit of Disney news, but the main segment is a trip report from Disney World. That's coming up today on Traveling with the Mouse. Welcome to Traveling with the Mouse, also known as the podcast for the family of five from Denver, and those other guests who also love all things Disney parks. Here, our tokens are fungible, but we will still willingly accept cash or card. I am Jason, and I am your host this week, recently back from the land of the mouse. You're welcome, Chapek. I hope you're enjoying the new jacuzzi. I am joined by two esteemed co-hosts who are going to be along to hear all about my journey. First, we have Adam.
What's up, everybody?
How are you doing today, Adam?
Good. Nice suit, Dad. Who shot the sofa?
All right.
You remember that?
And let's just not forget the second co-host we have, John.
When you hear the words go for launch, you'll definitely want to hang on. Huh. When you hear the words go for launch, it's Mission Space.
Oh,
I was using I was doing the Lieutenant Dan version.
Although Sinise version.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. By the way, I got your reference before you even said the sofa one. I knew it was right. That game show host guy, that game from way back in the day.
I figured you would
that catch game show. What was it called anyway? Just called
Mr. Game Show?
Mr. Game Show. Okay. I remember that. Yeah.
Google it, folks. Mr. Game Show.
Yeah. That was probably late 80s, wasn't it? Maybe early 90s? Yeah.
Well, it's good to have y'all here. Have y'all been looking up your references? I haven't learned a whole bunch yet about Denver, but I feel like I really need to get in the know because that's where our audience is going to be coming from now on. I'm looking forward to all the Denver folks subscribing because they're the ones going to Disney these days. That family of five from Denver.
I know that marijuana is legal there. I know that the Rockies play there and the Broncos. And the Broncos won. Let's see, what else do I know from about Denver?
They like Disney World, and they weren't able to come because of us. That's what I've learned.
So if I move to Denver, does that mean I can go more often?
Yes, you can go on lots of trips.
You're going to need to expand your family by one, though.
Oh, shoot. I'm out.
Families of five from
family
Denver.
Family of five. Okay.
That's the ideal. That's what Chapek wants.
I think we're beating that dead horse to the ground.
Well, we at least have the family of five from Denver to look at from now on as the ideal guest. So let's think about them as we talk about some of the latest news for the week. There isn't a whole lot because we're coming off of D23, which was chock full of not a whole lot of news, but still something. Something that I feel like they could have announced at D23 and they didn't, and would have gotten at least a smattering of applause. They're going to release Magic Band Plus for Disneyland.
Ah, yes.
That's kind of a deal because they never got Magic Band. So
I know some people who have gotten Magic Band. Well, Adam the Woo, he got banned by Disney World and was put back in.
I see what you mean.
Magic Band.
Oh.
Y'all totally missed that.
Yeah,
I didn't catch it. We didn't catch that.
Banned from the magic.
Sorry.
Ba-dum-ps.
Well, now you're going to have Magic Band Plus as an option out there at Disneyland. So it's exciting, right? Mm-hmm. I looked at a Magic Band Plus while I was at Disney World this weekend. And even with a 30% discount, it is ridiculous. I don't know why I need one.
Isn't everything ridiculous price-wise?
I know, but I have nice magic bands, and it just lights up. That's it.
I can't wait to see what Jason bought that I wanted, that he bought for me, I guess, or that he got there for me.
I bought something that you basically turned me into a mule to go out there and retrieve for you.
Because of 30% off, yeah.
Now, you did send me on a quest for the Holy Grail, and I was unable to complete that quest.
He did not get the Holy Grail for me.
I did not complete the quest for the Holy Grail. I will have to.
The Holy Grail, or is there
the
something
Holy
else?
Grail?
Yes, okay.
The Holy Grail.
Now you drank quite a bit, though, but you didn't drink from the right cup, I guess. So you didn't find the right cup while you're on this trip.
That's right.
Anyway,
and I did not get a Magic Band Plus either.
I'll eventually get one, I think, but I don't know. I haven't seen one that I really like either. It's like the Magic Band 2s. There's some that are okay looking. But then, of course, you get there and there's like, what can I actually do with it?
I don't see anything nowadays that I just have to get. I mean, that's just when I look at them.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe my perspective has changed. Maybe I'm just less materialized. I don't know.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know. I didn't buy anything for myself while I was there other than food and drinks. So
I'm more about experiences than I used to be, I guess. Does that make sense?
So. Yeah. What can you experience?
Yeah.
Like what rides, what food, what drinks? That's what I went for.
Yeah.
So that was just one small bit of news. Another thing that was interesting is at D23, they failed to mention Play Pavilion, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then almost immediately, there are crews out working on the roof of the Play Pavilion. So, What do we make of this? Do we think that's going to still happen?
I don't know. We sort of talked about that last week, but I don't know. They're still out there, though, right? So
yeah, they're still working.
They're still doing stuff.
Like I said last week, I think they're undoing what they did. We're just let this building sit.
What you've learned.
For a long period of time, apparently.
Doing roof work doesn't necessarily mean they're doing much.
Right. I mean, that building's been there for almost 40 years now at this point. It's getting cut well.
I wonder if they could put another ride in there. Just kidding. Yeah. Never do that.
Maybe it sprung a leak again and they had to fix it.
Actually, I'm wrong in that. It's actually like 34 years since it was built.
Yeah.
But anyway, it probably just needs some regular maintenance, right? I mean, especially if they plan on using it sometime in the future.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Well, they haven't torn it down, so there's something, right?
Oh, that's not going to happen. I mean, they got to keep buildings to, if they're physically stable, they have to keep them because it's cheaper to remodel than it is to rebuild. So, yeah.
Well, they haven't decided not to do anything.
You know, of course, the rumor always was that Horizon's building was unstable is the reason why they didn't reuse it. But,
right.
You know, some people debated that. Yeah, some people debated that, but who knows. That was a great debate, actually. It was a big thing back, in 2000 or whatever it was, whenever people were still speculating on this. Yeah.
I wonder if the Tron building is stable.
I would hope so. They just started on it like 5 years ago, right?
Yeah, it's pretty old. They should probably tear that thing down. It's getting pretty old.
It's been there forever. Yeah.
You know, it is Florida. I wonder if there's any other major attractions that potentially have sinkholes that have formed, and we don't know about it.
Could be,
like they're patching it up, so to speak. The rumor was that they're using water displacement to under the Universe of Energy building. I don't know if any of this is actually true. I would find it hard to believe that they would have taken that kind of risk whenever they built Epcot, that they would have done as much as they possibly could to keep the ground as stable as possible. But
I remember reading somewhere that the lagoon in World Showcase, there's a sinkholes that is the reason why it's such a big lagoon, but
they just went with it. They said, we'll just make it a big lagoon.
Right, yeah.
Well, only one other thing that caught my eye, and then I'll see if anything else caught your eye. Just some minor news. There is Winnie the Pooh and Friends back at Crystal Palace. Friendship Fair is back. So another meet and greet has returned to the Walt Disney World. Go see Eeyore. He'd be real unhappy to see you.
Would you go back to Crystal Palace?
The food was not good enough for the money. But I would go back with someone who wants to see characters.
Let me see. How much is the breakfast?
When you brought up the characters coming back, it reminded me of an incident, again, approximately 20-some-odd years ago, that we had in which we were having a character breakfast there. My dad had actually said, you know, he asked Eeyore if he was sad today, and he was just kind of nodding his head, kind of moping around. Then I made some kind of comment about buying his merchandise, and he did this little thing where he like put his fist up and it was like, yeah, type deal. Oh, right. Another one of those character interactions similar to the Chip and Dale one. Yeah. One of those type things. I usually like to come up with the quips with them if they open their door, if the door is open.
Yeah. Breakfast, by the way, is currently $29 for kids, $45 for adults.
That's quite an expensive breakfast. Holy moly.
I think they'll leave it as is because they can. And it just gives them an idea of, hey, look, we didn't go up here. Even though we've gone up on everything else.
I mean, because that's already like Chef Mickey price, isn't it?
I mean, again, they'll leave it like it is to make it look like a better value and it'll attract more people. It'll probably actually get people back in there.
Wow, actually, Chef Mickey's right now is only $42.
Mm. My point is their prices for these things are well above inflation, and they can use it as something to say, hey, look, we didn't go up here. Well, yeah, you're already well above inflation as it is.
Prices are already astronomically high, yeah. For 45, I'm not doing that for breakfast.
There will be people that will.
What would they have on the buffet at breakfast? Like crab legs? For
lobster? Yeah, I don't know. That.
The typical is what they're going to do.
Your typical crappy? Then send me to Ohana any day for their breakfast. I would totally, even without characters, I would still do it.
Yeah. Ohana?
Yeah.
Is that what you said?
Yeah, right now, $25 for an adult.
I mean, an Ohana is nothing in particular, mostly for breakfast, but it's just good quality. I mean,
yeah, it's just good stuff compared to,
That's what I loved about the best character breakfast was Garden Grill. And if they ever bring breakfast back, I will definitely have to go there. That was the best character breakfast. It's probably one of the better character dinners, truthfully. It's kind of a hidden gem because not as many people are going there. But anytime you have Chip and Dale as one of the characters, you're going to get entertainment.
They're good. They're good always. Have they said if they're reopening for breakfast ever?
I wish they would.
Yeah, I don't know why they haven't yet.
Because it was good quality, and then you also had the sticky buns.
Right. It was very similar to Ohana. Right now, the lunch and dinner, $55 for an adult, $36 for kids. Still not terrible for like a dinner. Lunch, it's kind of...
For whatever reason, the time that I ate breakfast there most recently, I remember particularly noticing the quality of like the hash browns or the hash, like whatever potatoes they served. Yeah. They were similar to that. I was like, potatoes is one of those things that most people don't really think about it because, you know, you get it a lot of times, but... To cook them to perfection is a rarity, and those that day were cooked to perfection. So,
crispy on the outside, soft on the inside, kind of.
Yeah, it was just right. I mean, potatoes are hard to get just right.
Yeah, know,
they really are. But that day they were just right. Yeah, potatoes.
Good point. Okay. All right.
Smash them, mash them, use them in a stew.
Right on.
Right on. Any other news caught your eyes this week? I feel like there wasn't a whole lot, but maybe something else I missed.
Nothing in particular stands out, no.
Okay. Well, why don't we get into the real meat and potatoes of this episode? Sure. I just got back from Walt Disney World. I went by myself on this trip. This was somewhat of a last-second trip to, you know, clear my mind, get away, find myself, all these sort of, you know, things, go to my happy place.
Mm-hmm.
Going by myself was different. The only other time I've ever been by myself was specifically for a challenge run. Yeah. So this was trying to enjoy it by myself, which was cool. I think what I will say is that, of course, it's better, I think, to often, you know, I would say there were a lot of times I wish that there was at least somebody there because it is always good to share it with somebody. So,
I would say right quick, going solo has its advantages, but it really gets old pretty quick.
Let's I don't know. If you do it right, eventually I got to the right space. I think it was certain times I was, it depends on the headspace of like where you're at, what you're doing. So I might touch on that. But yeah, I could see where it could get old quickly. You just got to keep it interesting.
You're talking one time. I'm talking multiple times.
Yeah, true. But I talked to some people, tweeted, chatted with you all. That was cool. So I get down there. I left Atlanta about 9 o'clock in the morning, arrived on property around 4 p.m. On Friday, I departed about 3:30 p.m. on Sunday. So I was on property for less than 48 hours. So put that in the frame of mind as I start spilling out some of the stuff that I was able to achieve. And this trip I booked a little bit last minute, but I was able to troll the Disney Vacation Club website and was able to pick up a weekend stay, two-night stay at a deluxe studio boardwalk view at the Boardwalk Villas, which I have never stayed at, before. So I was pretty excited about that. I arrive right around 4 o'clock and my room was ready. And I do believe I got perhaps the best room or one of the best rooms at the boardwalk.
Yeah. Honestly. You got a really nice view. That was a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got a good overall view. You could see a lot of the resort. You could see Epcot. You could see the yacht club over there or beach club. You could see a lot.
It's better than the view we had that time, Adam, but
oh yeah,
of course.
We were looking at the creepy clown pool.
Yeah, I think we very rarely were in the room. So,
right.
Yeah, I think it was room 5053, if anybody wants to jot that down for a future room request. And like you said, yeah, it had its top floor. It was facing into like the inner courtyard of the boardwalk right there. So I had a view, like you said, of the boardwalk. And I was high enough up that I could see the top of Spaceship Earth over the trees. So when that beacon of magic lit up at night, I could just sit there awesome and look at it from my balcony.
Yeah.
And you can see across the lake and everything.
Was it less noise, like boardwalk noise from where you were too?
Whenever I set out on my balcony on one of the nights, definitely I could just hear all the voices coming up and I would sit there and I found it interesting just sort of people watching a little bit. That green space right there at Boardwalk, you know, one time I was sitting out, I think this was right when I got there and it was raining. I go to my room, I get settled in, I get the bellhop to bring my luggage up, I unpack a little bit. I brought a little bit of provisions with me, so I had brought myself a little bit of Macallan 12 with me, and I commemorated the start of my trip by pouring myself a cup and sitting out on my balcony. It was raining, but there was a family down there just playing tag on the fake grass right there in the rain. And when I was sitting out there other times, I just always saw people out there playing in the green space. You know, it was good to see people just taking advantage of the grounds and enjoying themselves, you know.
Did you see people on those Surrey bikes? Aren't they right there, the Surrey bikes?
They are right there. They were out as far as I could see, but I never saw anybody on one. I don't know if they were actually renting them or not. But it was raining a lot, so...
Oh, yeah. That too, yeah.
Yeah. So it was raining when I arrived.
So is the entertainment on the boardwalk full force pretty much right now? Because I would think that would add to the noise.
There was entertainment. I didn't see much of it because I was not on the boardwalk too much, but I do know there was some there because I've seen news stories of or videos of it happening. I don't know if it was as full force, but I mean, probably as full force as Disney's ever going to get it again, right?
Well, I was thinking just from your room, if you would have that kind of noise coming up there. I mean, I'm guessing.
No, not really. I didn't really hear the music there from the boardwalk or anything. I just heard voices if it got a lot of people out there, right? So once the people were out, it was pretty quiet. Right.
Well, I was thinking the time of day you were probably likely in your room. It was probably more calm down at that point for those type of things, possibly.
Well, I sat out there at 4. While I was going down, I pulled a couple of lightning lanes. Mm-hmm. So I had, I think, a 5:15 Ratatouille to start with. I had a Frozen around that time. I had a test track I had pulled. I also had boarding group 1 for Guardians of the Galaxy. I was very late
Amazing.
For it, but... Yeah.
How did you pull that off?
It was luck. Pure
luck.
Pure
of the luck. Draw.
Luck of the draw. One, and they called them in reverse, right, this day.
I don't know, but you'll find out later that I still was able to get on the ride. So,
I wonder, is it less and less popular right now? Not popular, like,
well,
is it available longer is what I'm trying to say. Like,
probably. I haven't really looked lately, but...
Crowds have been down a little bit, you know, that kind of thing.
Well, here's the deal. On that Friday... I got very lucky because right at 7, the whole Disney ecosystem went down. The whole thing. At 7. So I pulled the boarding group, and then we couldn't get into My Disney Experience. We couldn't look at the resorts. Well, we couldn't look at...
that's probably why you got in group 1. Everybody else couldn't get it. Nobody could get anything.
Yeah, right, so nothing could happen. So there was. So it was down for about 30 minutes. Hmm. So I don't know when they actually ran out of boarding groups that day, but I had one. I drove down...
Lowest I ever got was 8, by the way. Well, my wife pulled it. She got group 8, so.
Well, see if you can beat 1 next time. Try beating
boarding
one.
Group 0. Yeah. You can get on before the park opens.
I think I actually paid for it the time that I rode.
Yeah. Anyway, sorry, go ahead.
It was raining. It was raining. So I decided to head into the parks. I'm going to use my lightning lanes, put on my rain jacket. I've had my sip of Macallan. I'm like, let's go. By the time I get in and to Ratatouille, it has been pouring down rain. I'm pretty soaked, whatever. But I ride Ratatouille. An interesting thing happened, though. I go through the lightning lane. I get up. I get into the front. I get paired with somebody in the back of one of the rats, and then I have two people in front of me.
Single rider.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, two ladies in front of me. They sit down, and one of them's glasses, their 3D glasses, fall forward out in front of them onto the ride track area in front of them. We were just loaded on the ride, and we hadn't pulled the restraint down. The other lady hops out, hops down into the track area, picks up the glasses. Mm. A cast member sees her, starts freaking out, like, oh, my God, about trying to press one of the buttons to end right, the ride. So, and right. She hops back up on the platform, gets in the rat before she can hit it. And then the cast member's like, oh, my gosh, what just happened? What just happened? What just happened? Yeah. Goes to look what I think was, like, her next superior in line of cast members who came over and said, you cannot go down onto the ride tracks. In the future, do not do that. There are no electrical elements down there, luckily, but in other rides there may be, and that would have been incredibly dangerous. If it falls in the future, we will get it for you. And the lady's wife's like incredulous, like, of course I wouldn't have gone down there if I'd have known that there was, I went blah 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 blah. So we do all that, we ride the ride, it was good.
That's crazy.
We get to the end, and there was another cast member awaiting us at the end of the ride as we got off, and they said, are you someone who lost your glasses at the beginning of the ride? And so I didn't stay to listen, but I think they were about to get scolded a bit more for their...
Right.
They got a free ride on Ratatouille.
Banned. They got a free ride out of the park and a trespass warning. No.
Yeah, I doubt it went to that level of seriousness. I mean, the closest thing I came to that was that time when I went to get a stuffed animal off of the Skyliner. He didn't even have time to say, sir, before I was in and out, so...
Oh, you were out, and then you jumped back in and jumped back out, kind of.
Yeah, we noticed that, well, we refer to him as Original Doggy, because she has a couple of doggies, but this was the first.
Okay.
That was laying still in the Skyliner, so I jumped back in to get it and jumped back out before the doors closed after we got off.
Ooh, boy, that's a tight window, man. That's quick. Yeah. That's quick. Yeah. You almost had to ride all the way around again, huh?
Probably. Well, they would have stopped it, I'm sure, but since I made it, they didn't even stop it.
Right. Oh, my.
So, yeah, so I got in the park around 5:15.
Okay, yeah.
Rode that ride. I think I had something that was good till maybe 5:45 or 6 or so. I forget when my Frozen Fast Pass officially expired, but I meandered along World Showcase, taking a right. I did not get my Frozen Kieran, unfortunately, because that line was crazy. I got a couple of booths. I don't even remember the first booth I went to. I think I got the Brazilian cheese bread. That's right. I got the Brazilian cheese bread.
Yep. I was on FaceTime or whatever with you when you were doing that. Yeah.
Yeah. And then I went and got the mule from the American Pavilion walk-up bar. Yeah. And I stopped at the refreshment port and got this really tasty vegan option. I don't even remember what the name of it was, but it was really good. So I ate all that, still had plenty of time to get into my lightning lane for Frozen. Good ride, of course. Rode that. Was pretty soaked, though, because it had been raining, but it was starting to let up a little bit. My test track lightning lane got converted because it was raining, so test track wasn't running, which allowed me to pull yet another test track for later in the evening. So at that point, I had ridden two good rides. I felt that it was time to go to Guardians and see if they would still let me ride on my boarding group.
Yeah.
I bet they did. Let me just say, it was empty. Empty. Wow. So empty. I bought a coffee at that Joffrey stand and then got in line, and I meandered through the line. There was nobody. I could have walked straight to the pre-show. I stopped, took pictures of different stuff in the pre-show, in the lines, let people walk past me. I got to the pre-show, and she's like, you have to dump out your coffee. I'm like, when? She's like, well, at this show, like before you go in this room. I'm like, well, can I just stand here and drink it? So I just stood there right at the entrance of the first, like,
the merge point.
Room, the point where the doors open into the first pre-show, and drank my coffee and talked to the cast member while she brought people in, finished that, and then went into the pre-show.
Wow.
Yeah. Interesting.
You know what's weird is I feel like if they were to switch boarding groups back to Rise, that it would still be more beneficial there than it would be at any of the other rides they've had after it. Even now.
They wouldn't make as much money, though.
No, there'd still be people buying individual lightning lanes.
They still sell out of the Guardians ILLs, right?
Yeah. I just feel like it would be more beneficial to Disney, I should say, switching it back to Rise. But, I mean, they're obviously not going to do that. But I think with new rides going in the future, none are going to, I mean, they're all going to try to compare to, okay, this is what we did with Rise, but none has actually lived up to the necessity, we'll say.
Here's a question. Since Tron is going to open now spring, do we think that Guardians will keep boarding groups until spring, until Tron?
I think so.
All the way up until spring? I mean,
I think so.
Well, I guess because they won't have anything else to put it on. Maybe they will. That'd be the only reason I can think of.
I feel like they want to keep at least one attraction with the boarding group thing at all times. Although after Tron,
it won't be necessary.
What's it going to be? Yeah. What's it going to be after Tron? Like, there's nothing opening until 2024.
I would like to think that they would take it away from Guardians probably by the beginning of the year. That would be what I would do. But again, that's.
You know. Nah, we're lucky if they get rid of it when Tron opens.
I know they're only going to have one attraction at a time. They've pretty much proven that, if nothing else. But if they keep it that long, so be it. But I didn't they get rid of Ratatouille's though before moving it to Guardians? I mean, they got rid of Ratatouille's prior to it, like a couple of months at least.
Yeah,
did they? I can't remember
because they only kept it going for a couple of months that they had boarding groups. So they actually had no attractions with boarding groups for a little while there.
Did they? Yeah. Okay, maybe.
So I feel like they'll drop it at the beginning of the year. That's my thinking. But
they also had two for a while because Rise and Ratatouille had it for a while.
Did they?
I think they both overlapped.
I thought they switched it. I don't think they ever had two. I think they switched.
I could have swore they were both boarding groups at one point.
Well,
yeah, I remember us talking about could you get both.
I was there on October 7th of last year, and there was not a boarding group option for Rise then, but there was for Ratatouille, which opened on, what, October 1st, right? They only opened 6 days at the time that I went there.
Well, okay. Maybe I'm wrong.
So, okay. I'm pretty sure they switched it.
I know maybe we were talking about it before it happened, and then they dropped it. I just remember thinking, as far as challenge goes, like, would they be able to pull both or whatever, but yeah. Anyway.
Anyways. So, I said I was only there 48 hours, y'all. Yeah. So, we're still just barely started.
Yeah.
We got to Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah. Really quickly, I guessed the song last week.
Oh, you did guess the song.
He did. He correctly guessed it.
Yeah, the song I got, you guessed it, Adam. It was?
One Way or Another.
One That's Way right. or Another.
Yeah.
I was in the one of the front cars.
Mm-hmm.
I told y'all that I wanted to revisit the question of the coasters.
Yes. Okay.
So let's just say that up until this point, we have been discussing what is the best coaster at Disney.
Mm-hmm.
And I've ridden on this trip. You will hear I rode Guardians.
Mm-hmm.
I rode Everest twice.
Mm-hmm.
I rode Big Thunder.
Mm-hmm.
Rode Space Mountain.
Mm-hmm.
I rode Rock and Roller Coaster.
You rode Tron. You did a preview of Tron. I'm just kidding.
I did not preview Tron. Okay. I did not ride Barnstormer, and I did not ride Seven Dwarfs Mine Train.
Oh, well, those are the best two right there.
I guess my prediction is as soon as Tron is open, Adam will think it's the greatest coaster.
No, I don't think so. I think Guardians is still going to be my favorite. But anyway,
we'll see. I'm going to start with...
James and I say Guardians, by the way.
I'm going to start with some negatives about Guardians here.
Okay.
I still can't really follow the story all that well. Like,
story shmori.
It's a great ride. Stuff's happening. Not a whole lot's happening. People are talking. It's really hard to keep up with.
Uh-huh.
And like Everest, as well as in
rewritability. That's what that's called. But anyway,
right. In Everest, as well as in Rock and Roller Coaster, I feel like you know the story's a little more clear. And Big Thunder. Big Thunder has, of course, you know, its nice scenes and it's got some slow elements and stuff like that. Anyways, so the story is not as solid. But from a pure enjoyment coaster factor, I think I prefer Guardians. So here's the problem that I rode Everest and it has great, it's just such a great queue and all of this, but just the pure coaster elements were simple, right? I enjoy the theming of it, but riding Guardians.
Yeah.
Every time I've ridden it, I'm laughing the whole time.
Yeah. Right.
How much had you had before going on Guardians? Just curious.
I had the one McAllen in the room, and then I rode a ride, and then I had the one drink in America. So I was sober because I'd ridden a bunch of rides and walked around.
Right, it was pre La Cava. So you were sober
for both.
Yeah. It was pre La Cava. La Cava was there.
So you were basically sober for both, so I can't really use that as an excuse. I'm just so disappointed right now.
Yeah. I mean, just riding the ride is just
happy, fun. Yeah. I
agree. Yeah. It's fun, but it doesn't take the place of Everest for me.
I have the best time on Guardians. It's just, yeah, pure joy.
I also am hanging on to the fact that Everest is the last original story transaction.
Are you sure? Because I don't actually know what the story of Guardians is. So maybe it's original. I'm not sure.
Well, he means character-wise.
It is totally IP.
Right.
Because the Guardians exist. The Guardians are part of the story, so it's IP.
I mean, yeah, what exactly is the story of Everest, though? Okay, there's a Yeti in the mountain, and you go.
Yes, you're going on an expedition.
But it's not really an expedition.
You encounter the Yeti.
You encounter the Yeti at a rave because of the strobe light.
Since we're talking about stories, I want to do one small divergence before we get back to the trip.
Go ahead.
We've been saying for a while, and you sort of questioned us on this, John, that we loved Happily Ever After because there was a story to it. Mm. And you were like, well, what is the story? And I listened to both Happily Ever After and Enchantment back to back several times on my drive back.
This is how you chose your drive time.
Yeah. I listened to Enchantment, and really there is not a whole lot in there. It's all like the whole thing about Enchantment is you are the magic, right? And if you just believe, magical things will happen to you, right? Everything's going to be grand for you. Just believe you're the magic. You are the magic because you have the money, I guess. I don't know. There's not really a theme to it. Like, literally, the songs that are chosen are just more or less random. The only part where there's any sort of, like, story is they're like, oh, okay, let's make an intense villain-sounding thing, and then let's have a short resolution, and then we'll have the outro. That's it. That's all they've got. If you look and you go re-listen to every song and
there's a
discussion purpose. In Happily Ever After, it starts with, you know, you can reach out and find your happily ever after, right? Mm-hmm. If you just have big dreams, right? Then all the first songs are all about having big dreams, right? Mm-hmm. Then the next songs are about
your friend, right?
Yeah, being friends. And then the next songs are about perseverance, like saying, you know, you got to just keep trying, don't give up. And then the next songs are about the villain's part, where it goes to adversity. You know, you have adversity, bad stuff happens.
Right, the flower that blooms in adversity.
Right. And then the next part is, how do you get on the other side? And then you rise up, and then now that's how you get to your happily ever after. So it's like a nice little sequence of stories, and each song weaves within it. Whereas with Enchantment, it's just like, just believe and it'll happen to you because you're the magic. That's it.
Well, that was a very nice summary. However, it's not going to be the same happily ever after going forward. There's no way they're going to spend that money to use the Main Street projections and not incorporate them into the new version.
I mean, I think they can keep a similar story and throw Encanto in there and throw... Right. I think that's the main thing, is they got to throw some of the new stuff in there. Right?
They're going to keep the Frozen section from Enchanted.
And I hope they keep Robin Williams' part in there.
Right. That's what I want.
Well, I don't know about that. They're probably going to keep the...
I Cry Every Time?
What was the name of it? The soul section. They're probably going to keep those two elements especially from Enchanted.
I love soul, but that's one of the things that bothered me when I was listening back to Enchantment. There's no tie-in to why soul should have been right there.
It was just a little interlude. That's all it was.
Right. I just don't like that show. I'm glad it's going away.
It's kind of like, say, for example, the trash in the camp doesn't really fit in the story of Happily Ever After either, does it? I mean, where do you fit it in?
At least Harmonious has a theme to it. I like Harmonious because it's like we're all voices of the world, and you know, they sort of raise up the different voices. Even though it's IP, they're trying to sort of have different languages, different spins, different takes across different
cultures. Where does Trashing the Camp fit into Happily Ever After as a crucial part of the story? I'm just saying, where does it fit in? I'm just saying Soul is kind of like that. It's kind of like a transition. It's kind of like an interlude. It's not necessarily a big part of the story, but it's part of the story. You know, it's the transition. It's a transition phase. Is all I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
I thought that was during like the part where we're all friends. Yeah, they're sort of just like we're all hanging out as friends.
I mean, I don't really care one way or the other. I think I made this clear from the beginning. I just never thought that it was really that different other than... I mean, the main difference was the song, and the people are going to bring the song back, and they're going to go crazy. They're going to go crazy for it no matter what they change it to.
Yeah. The song was better, but it had a cohesive story. It made sense.
It did make sense. And I think it's a better message. It's not just if you believe magic happens to you.
You have to go through some crap, which we all have at this point.
Yeah.
I'm going to go on record as saying Happily Ever After, as you know it, is not coming back. The song is coming back. And then we'll see what the new show involving the song Happily Ever After is.
I mean, none of us are saying that the show should be exactly the same. They should include newer stuff. But
right. I'll say Encanto is included.
The same type of story would be good, actually.
Right. And then just make sure you build up to the same kind of story. You get the Tinkerbell moment,
too.
And the Tinkerbell moment works so much better there because you're like, I saw the whole thing and I overcame everything and you can fly. Like,
right, your dreams can now soar with Tinkerbell.
Anyways, just listening to it, that was a long aside. We're still on my first day. I finished Guardians.
Did you see any of these nighttime shows, by the way?
Yeah, exactly.
We'll get to what I saw of these nighttime shows. Right. I think you're going to like my first encounter.
Yes, yes, yes.
So go to Guardians. I get off. And I decide to go to Space 220 to see if I can get in the lounge. And they told me it was going to be, I think it was like 7 or so, 7:15 when I walked up. The park's closed at 9. They told me it'd be an hour and a half standby if I just stood outside for the lounge. And I'm like, no. So I walk back over to food and wine booth. I went and got the Vietnamese like pho noodles, which I do enjoy a good noodle soup. Do not get that. It's terrible there. The noodles were not cooked. The broth was spicy, which I thought was the best part, but everything else was just not good. So I ate that, wandered my way over to Mexico Pavilion.
Yes.
Went and said, I would like a table at La Cava, please. And they said, yes, sir. There's one right here.
Sweet.
I asked if Senor Barbas, I was in the back corner of the restaurant. I said, I said Senor Barbas was working. They said, no, he worked the day shift, but I would have Senor Francisco.
Yes.
And Senor Francisco was great.
He was equally as good as Barbas.
I mean, I don't know if he would have been the same with the kids, but he has a great taste in tequila. So that's all I really needed.
Right, that's all you need.
So what did you get there?
So I sat next to, at first, a bachelorette party, and I told them I would mention them on the podcast if they bothered to listen. So I hope you had a good time. The bachelorette was, I think, the only person not drinking heavily in that party.
Oh, really?
They were trying to get her to drink. They ordered a bunch of shots, and they were trying to get her to drink. And I think she had some, but they were all having a grand time. It was good to meet those folks.
Nice.
I started with the Mezcal of the Month flight, like I did last time. So that was 3 Mezcals. That was great. I also got the chips and queso.
So good.
I got done with that, and I was like, you know, I'd really like a Dragones Top Shelf. So I got that.
Yeah.
And that was delicious.
It's good. It's a really good
one. I'm feeling good. At this point, the bachelorette party has moved on.
Yeah.
And I have a new family that has joined. The dad comes in first, gets the table, and starts placing the orders. And we start talking for a little bit. His daughter and the mom were off riding Grand Fiesta Tour. They were from Jacksonville. They come quite often. They were just down there. And we were chatting. They're regulars at La Cava.
Yeah.
As well.
Love it.
So they sit down, we're talking, and I decide I'm going to order, you know, each server at La Cava puts out their favorite tequila, and it's on the menu, and it's, you know, it's some sort of fancy sipping tequila. And I asked Francisco what his was, and it was, I think, Avion 44 Blanco or something. Añejo. And it was, he said, you're going to love it. I won't lie, it was $45. So I hoped it was good. It is, in my opinion, the best sipping tequila I've ever had. Wow. And that's including that fancy sipping tequila you gave me at your house that one time. From Mexico, Adam. Wow. It was fantastic. It was wonderful. I did have a lot before it, but La Cava's moved up my list. The reason being
so good
that compared to some of the other ones that we've talked about, it's close with the Dahlia Lounge, and it may even beat it just because the list of tequilas and things that you can get is great. I think the only thing keeping it from maybe being number one is you can't get a full meal there. You can get chips. That's it. Right?
Yeah. Chips, guac, right? But not anything substantial.
So food matters.
Food does matter at a good lounge. You're going to want to eat something if you're sitting there for a while.
Yeah. And it's small. I mean, that's the other thing. It's very small.
Yeah. But it was...
It's a cave.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Feeling incredible.
There are big caves.
I decided to go ride Grand Fiesta Tour. I got out of there just in time.
Yeah.
And then it broke down.
Yes.
I was on there with a family, and we were just floating along. There was no music, so I turned on the music on Spotify, and they thought it was hilarious. So we were singing along, and then the ride rebooted. But because of that, I didn't actually get off the Grand Fiesta Tour until after 9 o'clock, after park closed. So I missed the start of Harmonious, but I was on the last Grand Fiesta Tour boat of the night.
Nice.
So, yeah.
It's a good one to close down.
It would have been funny if you had started playing the El Rio del Tiempo, theme too on Spotify.
I don't remember what part of Harmonious it was when I exited the building, but it was going strong, and I was like, well, I kind of want to go to Abracadabar, so let's just walk and listen. So I did not stop and watch Harmonious, but I did see it, and the music was going. I heard most of it as I walked from Mexico around to the International Gateway heading left.
Right.
I was jamming along. It was empty.
Really?
Empty in World Showcase. Like, I could have gotten up on the railing in almost any pavilion to watch it.
Wow.
It was not, like, wide open paths for me.
Wow.
When I got to Morocco, nobody in Morocco proper.
Wow.
And I was feeling pretty good, and then they hit dig a little deeper, and I literally danced through the Morocco pavilion, like skipping, dancing, spinning. Nice. I'm sure people were like, what is going on with that guy? And I was like, I don't care. I'm having a good time.
$45 tequilas. What's going on with you?
You just cut loose.
Yeah. I did. They were getting towards the end of the show as I exited, but that got me a jump start on Abracadabar.
Yeah.
I sat also in the corner of Abracadabar, had their Manhattan, which is one of the not as good Manhattans I had at have had at Disney World. I had a couple of the beers. The fries, would not recommend. Mine were, it was like a fry soup. And it was soggy and gross. But I met a couple of cool people. Some of the people next to me were cast members. One of them is starting a brewery that's going to be pretty cool nearby and near Disney World. I think he said he worked at Coral Reef right now. And then also Space 220.
Cool.
Yeah. They were pretty cool. And I stayed and helped close down Abracadabra at midnight. So went strong for 7 straight hours. Yeah. Stumbled my way up to my boardwalk room. And passed out.
Where does Abracadabra land on your list? Because a lot of people like it.
I think it's okay. It's not, in my book, on the same tier as our top tiers.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Honestly, I'd like the drinks at Bar Riva better. But the reason I might end up going to Abracadabra more than Bar Riva in the future is it stays open later.
Right.
Like, by the time you leave Epcot, Epcot closes at 9, Bar Riva closes at 10. Epcot closes at 9, Abracadabra closes at midnight. So, like, if you're doing a post-Epcot drink, you're going to have to do Abracadabra more or less.
I think that's on purpose.
Okay.
Anyways.
Why? Just on purpose.
As you said, it's the closest one to Epcot. So after it closes, I mean, it makes sense that it would be.
And then when that closes, you can go to Jelly Rolls and stay out till 2.
Abracadabra is closer than Riviera. Right. So,
well, also, the Skyliner will close at some point, so maybe they're trying to deter people from the...
And the boardwalk
sticking around
was originally intended
To be late.
To have later, yeah. The boardwalk itself was originally intended to have later entertainment. So.
Right. Makes sense.
Anyways, it was fun. I enjoyed being there at Abracadabar. Stumbled up in my room around midnight. I did not set an alarm. I was like, I won't make rope at Animal Kingdom because I'm going to sleep in. Nope. Woke up. I think rope was at 7:30, and I walked in the park at like 7:45 or something. 7:40, something like that. 7:35. It was close.
But you didn't really need to rope anyway, did you?
No, because I was going to Everest. Right. Yeah, I think I walked in like minutes after 7:30. Like I wasn't there at the rope, but right at the rope. So I go to Animal Kingdom. I did not eat breakfast at the hotel that morning. I just went straight there. I drove and I parked standard.
Regular parking. Thanks for the free parking.
It was fine though.
Yeah.
I didn't have a lot of people with me, so I knew I could walk it and be fine and all that. So I went straight to Everest, rode it twice, you know, walked right on twice. That was about all I could handle. Most of my Saturday, my stomach was, you know, reminding me that I ate and drank like a madman the night before. I was not hungover per se, no headache, you know, all that. I was just like tired and my stomach was like, maybe you should eat a salad. Like, like, have you considered greens? Have you considered greenery recently?
No, cheese and fried stuff, yeah.
Yeah. But I ignored that because I'm like, I'm only here for 48 hours. But I rode Everest twice and then got the like sausage biscuit or whatever, or whatever they had right there at the little bar area right next to the Everest. I just got their breakfast sandwich. Mm-hmm. Decided I was going to, by the way, I did buy Genie Plus every day I was there. I decided I was going to ride the Safari. I had a lightning lane for later, but I was like, I'll just stand by, change that lightning lane for Navi River Journey later. So I did stand by for the Safari, which was cool. After the Safari was done, Kali was open, and I was able to ride Kali, which was something I always liked doing, and I got super soaked. I was literally the only person on the boat, the only person on the Kali boat. I think if I had said I would like to re-ride, and they would have said fine. I could have probably re-ridden that for like an hour before anybody kicked me off, but I didn't. Rode it once, and then I did the Maharaja Jungle Trek, which I had never done. So,
really?
I'd never done that particular... That's the name of the one by Kali, right?
Yeah.
I did the one that's by Kali.
Yeah, that's it.
It's always good.
It was fun. I sat in the bird room for a while. I've been doing a little bit more meditation. I tried to do a little bit of meditation, sit and observe the birds. I was enjoying it, having some peaceful moments, and a bird pooped on me. So,
yikes. Oh, my.
But a cast member was there with a nice sanitary wipe. It was just on my leg to wipe it off. Apparently, this is not the first time someone has had a bird poop on
me. I can imagine.
I've typically gone there for the...
Tigers.
Bats and the tigers, yeah.
Yeah, tigers for me.
The
tigers.
Bats.
It's the year of the tiger.
Yeah, the bats are pretty fun.
So those are giant vampire bats, sweetheart.
Exactly.
I did not go to Kite Tales. I said I was going to marathon it. Did not go. I did go to Navi River Journey. I used a lightning lane there. It's a great ride. I enjoyed it.
Adam disagrees.
I actually think it is a great ride. I think it's a good dark ride. I think it's a little short, but it's good.
It's okay. I mean, yeah. I don't love it, but it's too short. Anyway.
You wouldn't spend a lot of money on it.
I mean, I would if I could get one rather than.
Well, when you say it's like when you say it's at least the best slow moving dark ride at Animal Kingdom.
Well, sure.
I mean, it's like the only slow moving dark ride at Animal Kingdom.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
Anyways, I thought it was good.
It's okay. Yeah.
But really, the truth is, all of this was just stalling tactics to get to the opening of Nomad Lounge at 11, which I did stand in line for the rope, got right on the rope for Nomad Lounge. I was not the first in line because people actually were... It opened at 11, and I passed by at, I think, 10:15, and there were already people waiting.
Yeah, that's the drawback to Nomad, in my opinion, is it's just too popular.
Or has become that way.
Well, people just go there to post up literally all day.
Yeah.
Which has become that way. Good for Nomad, bad for everyone else.
Plenty of other lounges on property, though, you can kind of just walk in. but there's definitely several that are, you're going to have to wait a while.
I prefer the hidden gems of all categories.
I like the ones that, you know, you don't have to wait forever to get in or whatever.
So I sat outside, had the Tempting Tigress. Yep. I did the pork belly with the beautiful egg that I just had to have that again. And the tuna poke.
Yep.
All delicious. Like, I think that's the thing that Nomad wins on, is just the food is spectacular.
It really does, yeah.
How many different items did you choose?
Just two. I chose two. I was planning to stay there longer, but I was sitting there and I was like, I might fall asleep sitting here. I was tired. It was catching up to me that I stayed out till midnight and was at the rope at 7:30.
Right.
Gotcha. So it's like, you know what? I'm allowed to take a nap. I'm going to go take a nap.
Right.
Like, I have a nice room. I'm going to go take a nap.
Yeah.
So I finished my stuff at Nomad, left Animal Kingdom, got in my car, went back to Boardwalk, went to my room, laid down, took a nap, until housekeeping showed up to do trash and towel like 45 minutes later. So 30, 45 minute nap is about all I got. Which I was surprised that they came in my room to do the trash. It was like probably like 1 or 2 in the afternoon.
Yeah, that's very weird. I would think they would be done by then.
Well, I just thought it was weird also that they did trash service in my room, because at DVC resorts, when you're on DVC stays, they've always said you don't get housekeeping, right? You get trash and towel on like your third day or fourth day of your trip. And I was only there 2 days. I was surprised any room housekeeping came in my room. But they were very on top of it. You know, I did pull my car in and had the bellhop bring my luggage up. And then when he came in and brought my luggage in, he's like, is there anything you need? Anything you're missing? And they had the Joffrey's like coffee, but I like the Twinings green tea. I was like, well, can I get some Twinings green tea? He's like, sure thing. And he just punched it into his little computer thing that he was carrying. Like 30 minutes later, a housekeeping person showed up with a whole bag of Twinings green tea, like 6 of them. It's like, here you go. Enjoy that.
Nice.
I prefer tea over coffee myself.
Well, I like cappuccinos. I'm not a black coffee person, at least not yet.
And see, I actually take coffee black when I get it.
Hot, black, and strong.
Mm-hmm.
Something like that.
So anyways, I was like going to get a longer nap, but this ended up making it a little bit better. Because you remember, I had this idea where I was going to stay out and do Magic Kingdom until it was over at 11 that night. Wasn't going to happen. But I still got back to Magic Kingdom not too long after park hopping. And this is one of the better Magic Kingdom experiences I've had, probably because I was by myself. Like, this is the one park where I'm like, when I'm by myself, this might be a better park. Because in general, Magic Kingdom is my least favorite because it's an invariable breakdown. People get angry. Yeah. People are upset because there's nothing to drink. People are upset because there's too many people. People are upset because the kids are freaking out.
Yeah.
Nobody has a good time at Magic Kingdom when we have a bunch of people.
Yeah, it's harder to,
I always feel like Epcot's my better solo park, but...
Anyways, I enjoyed Magic Kingdom because I didn't have to deal with any of that. I could just go ride what I wanted, and I had stacked a bunch of Fast Passes, and I still had a leftover Fast Pass from the night before. Whatever. Lightning Lane. I had a leftover from the night before. I heard people call it all sorts of stuff in lines. Do you want the Lightning Pass? Do you want the fast lightning lane? Yeah. Do you want to buy this fast thing? Do you want to buy this genie thing? Right. Like nobody knew what it was. Anyways, so...
Why change a good thing? Anyway.
So I also had a lightning lane from Test Track from the night before. Because apparently if you get a lightning lane for a ride that goes down in like the last hour of the park operations... your anytime lightning lane is good for the next park day as well. So this is a known strategy, apparently, that some folks are using. And I think that fast pass for the next day is a valid fast pass for the every ride version of the challenge. So if you're going to run the every ride in a rainy season, you could just in that last hour, if it's rainy, just go to Epcot, just keep pulling test track.
Yeah.
So anyways, that's what I had going in. And I was like, okay, well, let's knock out some rides. And I was like, and then I'm going to go eat at Skipper Canteen. I had an 8:45 p.m. booked. And I'm like, I don't know if I can make it to 8:45. I did try the egg rolls, the pastrami egg rolls. Mm. I wish they'd bring the pizza egg rolls back. The 50th anniversary egg rolls need to go away.
Mm. When Happily Ever After comes back, then the pizza egg rolls.
Same thing. Pizza rolls. Club 33 did not let me in, surprisingly.
Oh.
Yeah. Unfortunate.
But you ate next door, right?
I did eat next door eventually, yeah. I decided to do a couple of rides. I did Jungle Cruise. Mm-hmm. Always a fun time. Haunted Mansion, Big Thunder Mountain, Splash Mountain, wow. And Pirates. I did all of that, and then I got joined the walk-up list for Skipper Canteen because I was like, I don't want to be here super late. So I joined that walk-up list. It was a 20-minute wait. Got in, sat down, tried their cocktails. So they now are serving cocktails.
Yeah.
The margarita was very good. The Jungle Bird, I thought, was gross. I choked it down, but I...
Oh, really? Oh, man. That sucks.
Interesting.
I was hoping that would be good.
I did have it second after the margarita, though, so...
It's hard to screw up a margarita.
I'm going to say, if you had it second, it would probably taste better, you would think.
No, I was like, let me try the Jungle Bird, and I sipped it, and I was like, oh, this is gross. But I'm like, yeah, whatever, I'll drink it.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
But I had the hanger steak. Yeah. It was good. The only disappointing thing, and maybe this is because I'm solo, and he was just like, this guy doesn't care, even though I would have enjoyed it. I didn't get any of the banter from the server there. They didn't do all the jokes or anything.
Didn't want to waste it on some one random guy.
Well, that's just wrong.
Their spiels.
Oh, well. I kind of wanted that. That's one of my favorite parts of that restaurant, too.
That doesn't make any sense. They should keep that experience consistent for whether it's one or whether it's 10. You know what I mean?
It could have just been that server was not into it. You know, I wished I'd had a server that would have given me the sort of banter. But anyways.
You got that bread appetizer, though, didn't you?
I did get the Brazilian cheese bread appetizer as well. So I ate a whole appetizer and a whole hanger steak, and my stomach's like, what are you doing? I said salad.
Yeah.
I want salad.
Yeah. Yeah. But no.
So I gave it egg rolls and a whole bunch of food instead.
Right.
But to round out the night, I had pulled a Space Mountain, so I made sure I rode all the mountains. And great way to shake yourself up after a good dinner and a couple of drinks.
Yeah. Best mountain?
The best mountain. Space is best, I think.
Better than Everest?
I gotta go with Big Thunder on that one.
I thought you were just talking about Magic Kingdom mountains.
Yeah, I'm talking about a general mountain. Because Everest is a mountain.
I mean, it is a
mountain. Oh, Everest would be the best of if you add that into the bunch. Mountain.
Okay, at least I get that out of you.
I think at this time it was about 7, maybe 7:15 or so, 7:30. Yeah. I decided to leave and go to, I was like, I'll just watch the fireworks from somewhere else. Enchantment sucks anyways. I don't want to watch it.
Okay.
So
what'd you do?
I was going to head to the Grand Floridian. I was about to take the walking path, and then the boat pulled up. I was like, I'll take the boat.
Why not?
So I rode the boat over to the Grand Flow and went to Enchanted Rose. It's like, I'll get a drink here. Because I was just so sleepy. I was like, I could go to bed, but I'm going to make fetch happen. I'm going to go to the Enchanted Rose. I'm going to go to the Tiki Room. You know, I'm going to do these things, you know.
Right.
Get it all done. I went to the Enchanted Rose. I ordered a drink, and it literally took them 30 minutes to bring me that drink. And it was so backed up. It was that somebody came over. A cast member was like, we're sorry. The drinks are really backed up. It'll be a while longer.
Yikes.
Not, hey, we're going to give you anything. Nothing. Just like, yeah, it's going to be a while. Sit back and relax and enjoy the ride. Right?
Yeah. Sit back and relax and enjoy nothing because you don't have anything yet.
Right, and I ordered the Manhattan, which is $25.
Yikes.
And when it came, it was delicious, but it also took 30 minutes to make.
Already ruined the vibe at that point.
So I had the one, I left, and I was like, I'm just going to go home. So I got on the monorail, Adam.
Yes.
And I called you.
Yeah, I did watch.
And I let your kids watch as I rode around the resort loop. The fireworks were going off, so I saw the fireworks while I was riding the monorail, and they wrapped up about the time I made it to the Ticket and Transportation Center, at which point I took the tram.
What?
So I also rode the tram.
What was that like?
Yeah, it was like one of three people on it at that point, so it was fine.
Before the fireworks that crowd showed up, the post-fireworks.
Yep, rode that out there, got in my car, went back to the boardwalk, and I think this was my favorite moment of the night, actually. I got out, back to the boardwalk. I had brought some drinks, you know, with me in case I was going to hang out in my room. I pulled out a beer. I sat on my balcony and just watched Spaceship Earth light up, listened to the sounds of the boardwalk, the people leaving Epcot, you know, walking around. I sat there for maybe 30, 45 minutes and just soaked it in. And I was like, this is really nice. I enjoyed that. That made the room really worth it to me. It was really nice. Decided I was going to get some rest. So that was day two. So we're like, I don't know, 32 hours into this trip at this point.
Well,
so I've done quite a bit, right?
Yeah.
So we get to Sunday. Sunday's my last day. I've got to drive back.
Yeah.
So what do you do on the day you drive back? You know, you just take it easy, get in the car early, right? No. You wake up. You make sure you're on the rope at the Boardwalk Deli to get yourself a breakfast sandwich. You make sure that you buy Genie Plus and you get the 8:30 to 9:30 a.m. Slinky Dog Dash Lightning Lane pull. Yeah, you heard me right. The first Slinky Dog Dash slot of the day. Pretty good, right?
Lightning fingers.
And you go to Hollywood Studios and you say, you know what? I've ridden Rise quite a bit. I don't need Rise. I'm on the rope. I'm going to ride everything else and go to Baseline Tap House when it opens. And that's exactly what I did.
Everything.
The rope dropped and I did the full power walk because I was not behind. I was not one of the first people in. You know, I was in that area, so I was a few people back, and I just was power walking past people, everybody going to Rise, and they're like, we should go faster. That guy seems to know what he's doing. And then, like, we get to Star Wars Galaxy's Edge, and everybody's turning to go to Rise, and I'm the only person that just keeps going straight back into Smuggler's Run. And when I get to it, the Falcon, there's...
Yeah, nobody.
Nobody.
Nice.
Nobody there at all. I got a nice picture of the empty area. I was the only person there. Go into the standby queue. I rode with two other people. It was their first time. I let them take pilot. I was a gunner. I hope they aren't listening.
Or did you use the manual?
I used auto. I wasn't going to try. Yeah. Especially with them. They asked how they did for newbies. I said, y'all were great. They were terrible.
So the Falcon was all beat up when you got back.
Oh, yeah. It took off and we just drove straight into the wall. It was great. But I had a grand old time.
I bet it was better than having a 3-year-old and a 5-year-old pilot.
Yeah, that's true. But I had made up my mind. I'm like, I'm going to ride everything but Rise and make the 10:30 a.m. I'm going to be first on the rope at Baseline. So that was... You know, I got off of Falcon around 8:02 a.m., right? I'm still in early morning magic hours. So I have the 8:30 a.m. Slinky Dog. I go straight to Alien Swirling Saucers. Yep. Surprisingly, not a whole lot of people in line for that. I got to walk straight on.
Yeah. Surprising.
At that time of the morning. Yeah.
That's right.
Walked straight on, rode that, went to Mania next. This was my only hiccup. Had to wait about 10, 15 minutes for some random breakdown.
Yep.
We were on, by the way, on the third track. During the early morning magic hours, they didn't send us to the left two tracks. They sent us to the new third track. Yeah. Rode that, and by now the park had opened, so I went and used my Fast Pass or Lightning Lane or Genie Plus or Chapek Plus or whatever you want to call it. I used that for Slinky Dog Dash, and I was up in the front on the Slinky Dog, and I feel like it's a little less fun in the front. Just a little bit. I feel like with most coasters, you get a little bit more of the feeling of the coaster a little bit further back. It was just very smooth up front. I feel like I didn't get some of the thrills. I guess if you're going to take it a little bit less thrills for like a little kid, put them up front. But like I think I would prefer the back.
Both Big Thunder and Slinky Dog being up front, something's kind of taken away because of the obstruction. You know what I mean?
Especially Big Thunder, yeah.
I think it's the same with Slinky Dog, though.
Yeah, somewhat, yeah. Anyway, you don't see as much.
So I rode Slinky. I then went and did standby for Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway. And it was interesting because I did the standby. I finally get up to the front. It was maybe 15 minutes total of a wait. I get up. I get into the ride vehicle. and I get paired with three other people, and I sit down, and the ride takes off, and the lady leans over and says, "This is a trackless ride. There's no track." And I'm like, "Yeah, yeah, cool." She's like, "This guy two down from me, he's an executive at Disney. He knows everything about this stuff." And I'm like, "Cool." And I look down.
You probably
it wasn't Josh Damaro. And yeah. So I was like, "Yeah, that guy's a nobody." But if I had looked down and Josh Damaro was riding Mickey Minnie's Runaway Railway with Minnie, I don't know what I would have done. I would have lost my mind. I would have lost my
mind. He probably just claimed he was and wasn't really.
He was in disguise.
Like, what would you do if Josh Damaro sat down next to you on a ride, Adam?
I'd be excited. I'd want his picture. I'd want a picture with him.
How likely is that to happen?
I don't know. It's more likely with Damaro than any of the others.
Yeah,
it is. He's one of the few that actually goes to the parks.
Yeah, meets the folks. There's tons of pictures online of people that run into him, and he takes pictures with people all the time, yeah.
Yeah. So, Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway was the next one. Then I went and did a Rock and Roller Coaster single rider. That got me on pretty fast because the thing standby was going to be an hour plus. So, walked right on, single rider. Rode it that in the back. That was fun to be in the back of that. Yeah. Very back row. And then Tower of Terror. And plenty of time to still get a lightning lane over to Star Tours. Got my Star Tours was a new trilogy version.
Sweet.
I was first in line at Baseline Tap House by 10:17 a.m. The lady said, "You know we open at 10:30. And I'm like, "Yes, I do." Yeah. And then I just stood there.
I'm a pro at this. Yeah. I know what I'm doing.
I mean, I got there, and then a little bit later, one other guy showed up. He's like, when does this open? And I'm like, 10:30. He's like, "Okay." And then the third guy that showed up was wearing the Baseline t-shirt. And I'm like, "Ah, there you are. Welcome."
Right.
There
you are. He knows. He knows the drill.
So I was pretty proud. I rode everything, all the rides at Hollywood Studios, except for Rise, before 10:30, and it's totally doable to ride all of them. I was not going full speed, anywhere close to full speed, or trying that hard. So I did all that. I had two drinks there and the puff. I was still a little hungry, so in honor of Adam, I went over to the back lot, Backlot right, Express, okay, and bought some chicken tenders.
And they were great, right?
They were, actually. They were better than the ones we got on the cruise, but unlike the cruise, they weren't unlimited and free.
Right. You had to have spent a lot of money.
Yeah. I also picked up a relic for Adam from the store. You may say it was from the past.
Yeah.
I was sent on a quest for a Holy Grail, and I came up empty-handed for that.
No Holy Grails. Oh, well, but you got a Sankara stone.
Oh, well, I guess I should mention I did do the walk-up bar at Brown Derby Lounge. No seating at Brown Derby Lounge again.
Yeah, another one that's too popular usually.
Oh, I learned something. I forgot to mention this about Baseline.
Yeah.
We've always lamented that you can't get cocktails. Right. They have liquor. They'll make you a cocktail. I asked. They don't have a whole lot of mixers, but if they have it, they can make any cocktail you want.
They can make some cocktails. That's cool.
Yeah, so there's more options there.
I don't know. The beer selection is too good for me. I'll usually just get beer, but it's good to know.
For the ladies. For the ladies.
Good point.
So after that, went to Springs, just drove over there, stopped by Polite Pig at the walk-up bar, and then had that one drink and just walked around and shopped at the Disney stores. And then I went to the Art of Disney. And I tried to talk y'all into buying a check that Walt Disney wrote for $1,000 that was for sale for $18,000. And
sure.
Adam's the only one that jumped in and said yes. So you owe me $18,000, Adam. I'm sorry.
Oh, well, I mean, after we cash that check, though, I only owe you $17,000, right? So.
Oh, okay. Got it.
We'll cash the check first, then I'll give you the $17,000.
I referenced what I said earlier about not really being very materialistic. No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, all of that said, it's about 3:30. I'm in my car. I'm heading my way out of the Hotels Drive Boulevard, whatever they call that road. I'm on my way up back to Atlanta. So in 48 hours, all four parks, many lounges, many restaurants, bars, etc., room time, whole nine yards, all of it.
Mm-hmm.
All in one whirlwind of a trip. I'm exhausted. It was fun, though.
Yeah.
So that's it. That's what happened. Any questions you want to hear about? Are you ready to go back, Adam?
Yeah, I'm definitely.
Are you the magic?
I'm ready to go back. I'm not the magic, but I'm ready to go back to find my happily ever after.
Yes.
But
if that's the reason.
Yeah. So you went to Nomad, you went to La Cava. You mentioned La Cava went up on your list. Is Nomad still top three, top five? What is your, what about baseline? Did it drop or increase in your ranking?
Let's see. If I was to do top five right now, I still think Dahlia Lounge is my number one. Okay. I'm going to go with La Cava as number two.
Sweet. Yeah.
Really?
La Cava is so good. It is.
You are betraying your home resort.
I'm going to go with Nomad as number three.
Okay. Wow.
Because the food just elevates that.
Food is good.
Mm. Bar Riva, I think, goes four and then baseline five.
Okay. Makes sense.
That would be my top five.
Good. I like it.
So it has changed.
It has changed. I think it was just a really good La Cava experience. I don't mind paying a lot of money for like a good dish of food or a good drink. If when I eat that dish of food, you know, I'm not going to go all the time, but when I do and I pay a bunch of money for a dish and I'm like, I have no idea how to make this. This tastes incredible. I'm going to remember this dish.
Yeah.
You're like, that was worth it.
Yeah.
Or when I ordered that very expensive tequila, I was like, this is really, really good. I'm going to remember not only this moment, I'm going to remember this tequila. I'm going to want this tequila. I'm, you know, I'm feeling, you know, afterwards I got to ride a ride. I, you know, I had a good experience afterwards. Like, I felt like that was worth it. You know, I was like, I'm about to do something stupid and just order some expensive tequila that Francisco wants. But then I was like, oh, this is incredible. So that, like, an experience like that can move a restaurant up. Like, why is Dahlia Lounge number one for me? And why is it so hard to usurp? Because I sat there after I finished the challenge, like my achievement that I tried to take a year to get to.
Yeah.
So it's always going to be up there because of that experience.
Yeah, I get it. Understood.
So my coaster rankings changed and my lounge rankings changed a little bit.
So you joined the Guardians bandwagon so far.
Yeah, it was a transformative trip for me. I mean, Everest, still love it. Kali, though, here's the thing. Kali's got a better... I did both Kali and Everest. Kali, I think I like the Q better at Kali. I think it's cooler.
Okay.
Wow. I've always thought Kali has the best Q.
Wow. Okay.
It's been a long time since I've seen Kali's Q.
I think just from a sheer fun factor, like every time I've ridden Guardians now, I get on and then it starts going and you're just like laughing the whole way through, like giddy with excitement because it's just fun. The main thing on it is I know they're like trying to save the universe from that bad guy, but I don't really know how it happens. I just know at the end it's done.
I think you just want to join the crowd and leave me all alone.
I went by myself. I was not part of the crowd.
You're a part of the crowd in the Guardians. It's, is better than Everest group.
It's an incredible fun ride, that's all. It's just really fun. Fun is the key word.
Oh, I forgot to mention, I did take the Friendship Boats to Hollywood Studios, and I took the Skyliner back. So I really hit a lot of the transportation.
Just no bus.
One thing that has not changed and will not change is the Skyliner is infinitely superior to the monorail.
Now that I can't get on board with. I love the Skyliner, but it's never going to beat the monorail.
Well, at least that didn't
change. Yeah. No, it didn't change. It will never beat the monorail for me.
I mean, I was riding the Skyliner the first leg by myself, the second leg with a family, and on both of them, I was so comfortable, I was so relaxed, I was enjoying the breeze, took a nap. Both of them. It's fantastic.
That is because the Skyliner is awesome.
Is that's the trip. That was a good time. I hope I can do it again. I hope that next time one of y'all could come with. That would be even more fun. But even there, I would say it was good to go alone. It was good to just get back into the parks, enjoy some stuff. I'm already tired, but I know it won't be long before I'm ready to go back because... We are, you know.
You have to go back.
We are just like that family of five from Denver, going all the time. Every weekend, flying from Denver.
I think I'm transitioning to that family of four from Georgia. So.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Well, is there anything else we need to hit up? Or are you guys ready to tell people how they can keep supporting us?
You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. That is all at TWTM Podcast. We have a Spreadshirt store in which you can find our exclusive TWTM merchandise. That is shop.spreadshirt.com/TWTM Podcast. We have a YouTube channel as well, which we haven't added a ton to that recently, but you can still find some pretty good stuff there. And where can you find that?
On our website, travelingwiththemouse.com, and you can email us podcast at travelingwiththemouse.com. And if you would like some assistance in planning your next Disney trip, you can reach out to our travel agent friend. Her name is Jill Dilbeck. Her email is jilldilbeck@gmail.com.
So, for John and Adam, this is Jason. This has been Traveling with the Mouse, and we hope you will join us for our next trip.